Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. We were reading about the appearance of Lord Narayan on his throne and the four principles of religion, knowledge, power, and renunciation were surrounding him. Actually, they were appearing as the four Vedas and also as the four legs of his throne. So next, we'll read about these Shaktis. There's five. Those are the four. There was mention of four Shaktis, and then 16, and then five. So next, we'll read about who the 16 are. 1029. Shodasha Shaktayash Chandadya Tatacha Tatraiva Chandali Dwadapalais Tu Kumadadya Surakshita. The 16 energies are Chanda and so on, as described in the same text. This is the same text of, what is the, oh boy, Padma Purana Uttarakhanda. Okay. As described in the same text, it is perfectly protected by his, that is the Narayan, is perfectly protected, not Narayan, Vaikuntha, is perfectly protected by his doorkeepers, led by Chanda in one group and Kumuda in another. So actually, the 16 energies are the doorkeepers. Okay. Jai and Vijay are doorkeepers on one side, but there's eight different gates. So there's 16 gatekeepers. Nagari ti purvain anvayaha te cha. So it's protected, but what's protected? Well, there, it says that previously there was the feminine noun nagari. The by grammatical connection with the verse previous to this one, the subject of this sentence is the city, Nagari, the city of the capital city of Vaikuntha. Te cha chanda prachandao pragdware yamye badra subhadra kao varunyam jaya vijayo saumye datri vidatarao Kumudak Kumudakshascha Pundariko Tavamanaha Shankakar Shankukarnak Suva Sarvanetrak Sumukak Supratishtitaha Ete Dikpatayat Prota Puryamatra Shubanade Iti. The doorkeepers are as follows. Chanda and Prachanda are at the eastern door. Bhadra and Subhadraka at the southern. Well, let me just call them Subhadra. The ka is just a suffix. Bhadra and Subhadra at the southern. Jai and Vijay at the western. Data and Vidata at the northern. Also said to be among them, the guardians of the directions in this city, O fair-faced one, are Kumuda, Kumudaksha, Pundarika, Vamana, Shankukarna, Sarvanetra, Sumukha, and Supratishtita. Kumaradyai studvau dvau agneyadi dikpataya iti sheshaha. The implied completion of this statement is that Kumuda and so on are the guardians of the directions beginning with the south, the southeast. Now we have the five energies. Pancha Shaktayaha Kurma Dhyaha Yata Cha Tatraiva Kurmas Cha Nagarajas Cha Vainateyas Trayishwaraha Chandamsi Sarva Mantras Cha Pita Rupa Tvam Astitaha Iti Trayishwara Iti Vainateya Visheshanam Tasya Chando Moyatwat. The five energies are headed by Kurma, as the same passage states. Situated as features of the Lord's Yogapita are Kurma, Nagaraja, Vainateya, the master of the three Vedas, the Vedic meters, and the entire collection of Vedic hymns. Those five. Master of the three Vedas, Trayishwara, is an adjective describing Vainateya, since the Vedic sound is found in him. Commentary. The five energies, beginning with Kurma, are attendants of Lord Narayana, and they each have counterparts in the material world. Kurma is the original form of the tortoise at the bottom of the material universe who holds the planets on his back. Nagaraja is Ananta, the king of serpents. Vainateya is Narayan's eagle carrier, Garuda, who is intimately connected with the sound vibration of the Vedas. Describing Lord Vishnu's departure after meeting with Prajapati Kardama and Bindusarovara, the sage Maitreya says, maybe opening the door may make it warmer. The sunlight will come in, no? I don't know, maybe it's really cold. Nidikshitastasya yav ashesha sadishvara bishtuta siddha margaha Akarnayan patravatendra pakshair ucharitam stomam udirna samo. While Kardama stood looking on, the Lord left by the pathway leading to Vaikuntha, a path extolled by all great liberated souls. The sage stood listening as the hymns forming the basis of the Sama Veda were vibrated by the flapping wings of the Lord's carrier, Garuda. Only three Vedas are mentioned here, not four, because the Atharva Veda is not as prominently used in performances of sacrifice as are the Rig Yajur and Sama Vedas. In addition to these three associates of the Lord, Brahma also saw the two groups of Shakti who manifest the texts of the Vedas and the special meters they are composed in. So that makes the five. Kurma, Garuda. Kurma is the tortoise at the bottom of the universe. Garuda, who embodies the Vedic hymns. But then the meters and the hymns are present by themselves. So that's five groups that make up the five energies who are present at the court of Narayan. Of course, Narayan has countless energies, but these most prominent ones are like his ministers, so they're right there at his throne. Then continuing, tata chatatraiva yadyapi uttarakonda vachanam tatparavyoma param tatapi tatsadrishyad agamadi prasiddhis cha Shri Krishna yogapitam api tadvadgeyam. Furthermore, even though these words of the Uttarakhanda of the Padma Purana specifically refer to the supreme sky, that is Vaikuntha, still we can understand that the yoga pita of Krishna, Sri Krishna, is also like this, just like this. Because Sri Krishna's abode is exactly similar as Pancharatra Agamas and other scriptures confirm. Atra Shodasha Shaktayaha Sakshad Sri Krishna Eva Sri Krishna Sandarbe Purastat Udarishyamana Pabhasa Konda Vajanat Shuta Lambinyadaya Eva Vavigyaya Iti. Or alternatively, we will hear from the passage of the Skanda Purana's Prabhasa Konda, we will be citing in Sri Krishna Sandarbha that the same 16 energies mentioned here are also seen in direct relation to Sri Krishna. Okay. So it sounds like the Skanda Purana is going to somewhere describes Krishna as having these 16 energies. But they're known there as Lumbini and so on. Names are different. Okay. Okay, then the going back to the verse. Yuktam bagaik swire itaratra chadruvai swaeva daman ramamanam ishvaram. The Lord was seated. Okay, he was factually the Supreme Lord enjoying his own abode. And he's joined by all his opulences, enjoying in his own abode. So commenting on that last half of the last verse, Swaich Swarubabhutayar Aishwar Yadi Bir Yuktam. The Lord in Vaikuntha was accompanied by the opulences, beginning with controlling power, which are his own. Okay, Bagaik Swaich. That's apart from these energies. You've got four energies, another 16, another five, and in addition to that, you've got his opulences, beginning with controlling power. That's Aishwaryasya Samagrasya, his six bhagas, which are his own, which belong to his essential self. And then it says, Itra Ratra Chadruvai, that these bhagas, these opulences, elsewhere are unsteady. Unfixed. What does that mean? Jiva Goswami explains here. Itaratra yogishu adruvayar agantuka nashwarais tat prasadad eva kadachit tadabasa rupa tayaiva praptayar ityartaha. Elsewhere, meaning in yogis. These opulences may be found somewhere else in yogis who achieve them. These opulences are unsteady, meaning appearing only occasionally and non-permanently. Qualities are of two kinds. There are qualities that are inherent and inseparable. And there are other qualities that are just acquired temporarily. That means in the course of time, you didn't have it before, now you have it, and you might lose it again. So, I may have a bad temper, and that's my inherent quality. I may also have 500 rupees in my pocket. The 500 rupees comes and goes, but the bad temper stays. So the bad temper is an inherent quality, but the rupees in my pocket are agantika. That quality is temporary. And what comes also goes. It doesn't stay forever. Non-permanent. In other words, only by his mercy do the yogis obtain them, these opulences, bhagas, sometimes as mere reflections of their originals. That's the Itarata Chadruvai. Sway, it says, Eva Dhamman Ramamanam. He's enjoying in his own Dhamma. Jiva Goswami says, Sway, Swarupa eva dhamani Sri Vaikunte Ramamanam Ata eva Ishwaram Katamapi Paradina Siddhatva Abhavat Tadarshane iti yet padam bujam paramahamsyena patabi gamyate iti sachit ananda ganatvam tasya vyanakti. The Lord was seen enjoying in his own abode. Now the word swa is there. The abode, Sri Vaikuntha, which belongs to his own essential self. It's actually, it is his self. It's not different from him. This means that he must be God, since his position could never have been achieved under anyone else's influence. In the verse beginning, Tadarshan Ahlada, let me read the verse. Now we're moving on to the next verse. The next verse says, Tadarshan Ahlada Pariplutantaro Rishyatanuk Prema Barashulochanaha Nanama Padambu Jam Asya Vishwasrik Yat Parama Hams Yena Patari Gomyate. Lord Brahma, thus seeing the personality of Godhead in his fullness, was overwhelmed with joy within his heart. And thus, in full transcendental love and ecstasy, the hair on his body stood on end, and his eyes filled with tears of love. The creator of the universe thus bowed down at the Supreme Lord's lotus feet, which are realized by the path of perfect spiritual discipline. Okay, about that verse. In the verse beginning Tadarshana, the words whose lotus feet are realized by the path of perfect spiritual discipline indicate that his lotus feet are the complete embodiment of perfect existence, knowledge, and bliss. Satchidananda. Then the next verse. Tam priyamanam samupasti tam kavim pajavisarge nijashasanar hanam babhasha ishat smita shochisha gira priyak priyam prita manakare spishan. And seeing Brahma present before him in a loving mood, the Lord accepted him as worthy to create living beings, to be controlled as he desired. And thus being much satisfied with him, the Lord shook hands with Brahma, and slightly smiling, addressed him as follows. Tam priyamanam iti tam brahmanam bhagavan babashe prajavisarge karye nijasya swamsha bhutasya Purushasya Shasane Arhanam Yogyam. Well, in the verse beginning Tam Priyamanam, it is stated that the personality of God had addressed him, that's Brahma, who was worthy, which means fit, to be directed by his Purusha. It says Nijashasane. But Jiva Goswami is interpreting it meaning the not directly Narayan's control, but the control of the Purusha, Narayan's pleasure, plenary part. It's Garbhadakshaya Vishnu who's controlling Brahma. To be directed by his Purusha, his own plenary part, in the business of sending forth the universe's population. Okay. Commentary on this, Sri Krishna Sandarbha, Anuchet 183, will cite a passage of the Skanda Purana, Prabhaskanda 118, 11, 12, which refers to Krishna's 16 energies in Dwarka. Lambini, Chandrika, Kanta, Krura, Shanta, Mahodaya, Bishani, Nandini, Shoka, Supurva Vimalakshaya Subhadra Shubhada Shobana Punya Hamsa Syaita Kalakramat Hamsa Eva Matat Krishna Paramatma Janardanaha. These are the 15 fractions of the great swan. There's 15 listed here. In order, Lumbini, Chandrika, Kanta, Krura, Shanta, Maha, Udaya, Bhishana, Nandini, Shoka, Suvimila, Akshaya, Subhadra, Shubhada, Shobana, and Punya. The word 15 should be in brackets because it's not actually in the verse. Right? Yeah. Wait a second. Put in brackets, not in verse. Oh, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Okay. These are the 15 fractions of the great swan in order in the names. The swan is understood to be Krishna, the supreme soul and resort of all living beings. Srila Jiva explains that these 15 are principal queens of Krishna called by alternative names. These are Krishna's 15 first queens. And besides them, there is a 16th, unmentioned. His greatest Shakti or chief queen, So these are the 15 queens, not counting the very first queen, Rukmini. She must have been mentioned separately. Krishna is like the moon, and these 15 queens are the phases of the moon. Well, the moon has 15 phases, yes. Okay. Since Garbhodak because. Why does the moon have 15 phases? It's an astronomical question. Why 15? Why not 11? Why not 17? Why is 15 days? I'm sorry? Yeah, but why does the waxing take 15 days? Sorry? Yeah, but why 15? Why between the Amavasya and Purnima there's 15 days? Why not 11? Why not 17? What makes a day? Well, okay. Well, a day, you know, we know a day is, you know, this is how long it takes the moon to move around the earth. It takes 1 month. And a month, right? Then, you know, by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, the moon goes around the earth once every month. It's called a month because it's the duration of the moon. Mesats. 1 month. Moon. Chandramasa is the name of a month or the name of the moon. Well, a month just happens to take 30 days. Two halves. Between one half and the other is a full moon and the new moon. Now, those, it's on the average 30 days, but some months are a little longer than others. The moon sometimes goes slower, it sometimes goes faster in different seasons of the year. In the Vedic calendar, it's actually measured not by solar days, but by tithis. Now, what's a tithi? You know, in order to make a more exact measurement, because anyway, the moon's movement isn't exactly in sync with the sun's movement. It doesn't take exactly 30 days. It takes 29 days and a fraction. That's why some, it takes a little more than 30 days. That's why some months in our calendar, our Western calendar, have to have extra days. There's 31 days in half the months, because it's 30 days and a fraction that it takes the moon to go all the way around the earth. So the Vedic calendar chooses to measure the days not by the solar divisions, but by the lunar. What is a titi? How do you calculate a titi? Okay. Halfway around is 180 degrees. Just divide that into 15. How much time it takes for the moon to move 13 degrees and 20 seconds, or 1/15th of halfway around? That's officially a titi. Whenever the moon reaches that point, goes that far, going around the Earth, then the lunar day is finished. And by convention, whatever solar day that happens on, that's marked on the calendar as the titi. The moon may reach the point at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, whatever, sometime in the middle of the day, but the whole day is considered the titi. The day, the solar day on which the lunar day is completed. Those are the 15 fractions. It's just because there's about 30 solar days to a year, so by convention, the moon has 15, it grows in 15 parts, gets bigger and bigger, and then it shrinks in 15 parts. So there are 15 fractions of the moon. The moon shows itself in 15 different sizes. Okay, finishing up the commentary. Since Garbhodakshay Vishnu is an expansion of Narayan, their working together to guide Brahma in creation is appropriate. Okay, we move on. 1031. Nanu asau purusha eva tam anugrinatu Sri Bhagavatas tu paravastatvat tena prakrita srishti kartra sambandho pi nasambandha ityashankya. Okay, that's the purapaksha or the doubt. But then let that purusha, Garbhodakshay Vishnu, show Brahma his favor. The personality of Godhead's, Krishna's, situation is absolutely transcendental. So his connection with the mundane creator is not a real personal relationship. That's the argument. Brahma is just the material creator. Krishna is completely transcendental. So Vishnu, Garbhodakshay Vishnu, might have some business with Brahma, but Krishna doesn't have any real personal relationship with this material person. So what's the answer to that? Ityashankya. Tasya bhakta vatsalyatishaya evayatam ityaha. Priyam tasmin premavantam yato sopi priya premavashaha. Tatrapi priyamanam iti pritamana iti cha visheshanam tadanim premolas atishaya dyotakam. The answer is given that this just shows how extremely affectionate the Lord is to his devotees. Towards Brahma, who was dear, meaning endowed with pure love of God, the Lord was also dear, meaning controlled by his love. Moreover, it is specified here that Brahma was expressing his affection, priyamanam. Priyamanam is an active present participle. It's the verb pri. It's the verb pri, prinati. It's atmanepadi. So it's an atmanepada present active participle. He's showing, Brahma is showing affection. And the Lord fell to loving satisfaction. The Lord was pritamana, bahuvi. His mind was pleased. The Lord felt loving satisfaction, which hints at the great exaltation of pure love felt at that moment. Tamprati bhagavat priti chikna darshanena tasyapi tatra prityatishayam vyanjayati ishat smita rochisha gida eti kare spishan iticha. The extreme extent of the personality of Godhead's affection toward Brahma is revealed by the signs of love he showed him, as is stated that he mildly smiled as he spoke his enlightening words, and he was touching Brahma's hand. So this Srishti Leela is a real Leela. The Lord is enjoying because there's someone, a devotee here, to enjoy with. There can be a lila even in material realm when the Lord's pure devotee is there to share rasa with the Lord. Rasa has to be shared. It doesn't manifest without both vishaya and ashraya. Rasa must have all of its components to manifest. And the anubhava is called vishaya and ashraya, the lover and the loved. They must be there. And certain ecstasies must be present in both of them. Then we have rasa. Just like addition requires two numbers. If you want to program your computer to add two numbers together, you have to tell it which two numbers and where they are. You can't make addition with only one number. So you cannot have rasa with only one participant. The Lord is there, but it's not that he's always enjoying rasa because he's always with his devotees. And even creating the material world is a lila because Brahma, at least, if nobody else, is his pure devotee. And therefore, it's Srishti lila. He's enjoying rasa. Otherwise, it's just material work. And Krishna doesn't do material work. Okay, let's read the commentary. Oh, no, I didn't read the translation, sorry, of the last sentence. I did. I read about touching Brahma's hand. Prabhupada translated as shaking his hand. That's taking a little bit of liberty. It's just like in India, politicians or people touch each other, the tips of their palms, like that. Commentary. Even today, the Indian custom for friendly greeting of a respectable person, equivalent to the modern shaking of hands, is to touch the tips of the guest's hands with the fingertips of one's own joined hands. Okay, we're reaching the end of this anuchet. Asya Shri Krishno Pasakatvam Shri Gopala Tapani Vakyena Darshitam Tata Cha Shri Brahma Samhitayam. The words of Shri Gopal Tapani thus show that Brahma is a worshipper of Shri Krishna. We see the same also in the Shri Brahma Samhita. Tatra Brahma Bhavat Bhuyas Chaturvedi Chaturmukaha Sajato Bhagavat Chaktya Tatkalam Kilachoditaha Sashikshayamatim Chatre Purva Samskara Samskritam Tadarsha Kevalam Dvantam Nanyat Kimapi Sarvataha Uvacha Pudatas Tasmai Tasya Divya Saraswati Kama Krishnaya Govinda Nge Gopi Jana Ityapi Volobhaya Priyavakner Mantram Te Dasyati Priyam Tapastvam Tapa Etena Tava Siddhir Bhavishyati Atate Pesa Suchiram Prinan Govindam Avyayam. From Brahma Samhita. There in the lotus grown from Lord Vishnu, four-faced Brahma, versed in the four Vedas, appeared again. Then the goddess of learning Saraswati, the divine consort of the Supreme Lord, said to Brahma, who saw nothing but gloom in all directions, Saraswati said, O Brahma, this mantra, viz. Kling Krishnaya Govindaya Gopi Jana Vallabhaya Swaha, will assuredly fulfill your heart's desire. O Brahma, do thou practice spiritual association by means of this mantra. Then all your desires will be fulfilled. Brahma, being desirous of satisfying Govinda, practiced the cultural acts. The verses under discussion, that's Bhagavatam 2.9, 9 through 19, 11 verses, were spoken by Sri Shukadeva. Now we're done with the anuchet. This was all to show how the Supreme Lord appears in his own abode. That abode is transcendental. It's eternal, perfect, unchanging, but full of spiritual variety. And that is where the Supreme Lord shows himself and his pure devotees. The commentary says, In this narration of Sri Brahma Samhita, Brahma, on a certain day of his life, received initiation into the Gopal Mantra from the goddess of speech, Saraswati. So on one day, she's the guru, giving him the Gopal Mantra. On other days, he might be initiated by Lord Narayan or Krishna. But in this case, the mantra that Mother Saraswati gave him was dedicated to the worship of Govinda, Krishna. The words of the mantra are specified in the Brahma Samhita text in a cryptic, permuted form, because the readers of the book should not hear the actual mantra unless and until they receive it by regular initiation. Okay. That finishes this very long Manuchet. I can take a few minutes if anybody has any questions. Sarva Gya Prabhu.
It is said that the living entity, while coming to this material world, first occupies a post of Lord Brahma. So it seems that at least at that point, it's not Lord Brahma, he's not a pure devotee. He already has a material desire because he came from the spiritual world to material world in order to enjoy. So
I'm sorry, where does it say that?
I've heard somewhere that a living entity, while coming to this material world, first he occupies a post of Lord Brahma, and then only takes some other position. So it seems that at that particular moment, this living entity is not a pure devotee because he already has the material desire.
Well, that's the general situation. In general, not every Brahma, even while serving as Brahma, even after creating the universe, not every Brahma is a pure devotee. Our own Brahma is a pure devotee. He seems to be a sadhana siddha. He became a pure devotee at a certain time. It looks like the previous day, the day before this one. So he's been a devotee, you know, he's like not a very old bhakta. It's only been a devotee for one day. Anyway. Other Brahmas never quite become pure devotees. It's not that every Brahma is a pure devotee. But this one is. You know, our devotee, he's the founder of our Vaishnava Sampradaya. He's considered, you know, the greatest devotee.
I asked this question because it was said that Lord Krishna, while creating this world in Srishti Lila, he enjoys association with at least one pure devotee.
Well,
Brahma,
there are other devotees too. Even if Brahma is not a pure devotee, there are jivas who are coming into creation who are pure devotees, some of them. Even if Brahma is not, somebody else is. Yeah. Yes.
Sometimes Brahma changes. It's a post. Like Brahma Gopakumara went to Brahma Loka.
It's a post that's kept for the entire duration of the universe. Yeah, he lives, the one Brahma stays Brahma until the universe is destroyed.
Like when Gopakumara went, yes. The Brahma went away and fear of the demon. Then Gopakumara became Brahma.
But that was just temporary. Mm-hmm. You know, Brahma is Brahma for the whole duration of the universe. But he got scared and ran away, so they made Gopakumara temporary Brahma.
Yeah. No, my question is that, like that somebody can't become Brahma. Somewhere else, some devotee said that just like Gopakumara became Brahma,
yes.
This time when Lord Chaitanya comes, this Brahma is Krishna himself.
Which one?
The Brahma during when Lord Chaitanya comes. Just like when Gopakumara went, he became Brahma.
But why is, okay, somebody can become Brahma. But to become Brahma, you have to start a whole new universe of your own. The current Brahma universe already has its Brahma.
For the temporary period of time.
Well, you want temporarily that Krishna becomes Brahma during the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya? Why?
That's what I wanted to confirm.
Well, yeah, but confirm. But on what authority do we say that? Who says that?
They said Prabhupada said it.
I don't remember Prabhupada saying that. That Brahma is Krishna during Lord Chaitanya's Leela. Now you mean, well, Brahma is Haridas Thakur? And that's Krishna? I mean, you know, we got that Haridas Thakur is empowered incarnation of Prahlad, and that he's Lord Brahma. Now we, I never heard that he's Krishna. But we never have an idea that Haridas Thakur is Vishnu Tattva.
Not Haridas Thakur.
Haridas Thakur comes here and then Vishnu takes over the position of Krishna, Brahma?
Anything like that.
Oh. I don't know. I don't remember hearing that from Prabhupada, but maybe I just missed it. Okay, I'm not sure. It may have come from somewhere else, that idea, because I don't remember hearing that from Prabhupada. Do you?
Connected. I remember that when there is no living entity which is eligible, qualified to
then
be Lord Brahma, Krishna becomes Lord Brahma.
But right. Somebody may have made an assumption because of that, therefore it must be this. But Prabhupada never directly said that. I mean, if there is somebody else who could be a substitute Brahma, then let him, you know, he can be it. Vishnu doesn't have to always become. Anyway, I just don't know. I never heard that. Yes,
I have to ask about moon. I heard Prabhuji in moon, there is 16 kalas are there. When in the moon there is 16 kalas, became complete. Yeah, something like
16. Yes, sometimes it says 16, but astronomically there are 15 titis, not 16. So. I don't know how you count 16 instead of 15. I know it's sometimes said. The word kala means six. You know, is means a division of 1/16, actually.
It's part, like.
Yeah, 1/16 part. But the moon has 15 phases, not 16. Because it doesn't take 16 days to reach that halfway around. It takes 15 days. I don't know how you reconcile that. It's a slight difference. Yes.
I have a small question.
I'm sorry. There are 16 creative energies that make up the material world. They're called kalas in the Aitareya Upanishad or Prashna Upanishad. They're called kalas because there's 16 of them, 16 fractions of universal creation. So 16 is there, but sometimes it's also counted as 15.
One place I saw, you know, give example like a comparison. One kavi, he compared what, you know, one woman's face, you know, like 16 colors complete moon is like.
Okay, maybe there's some astronomical explanation how another phase gets in there, the next 16th phase. I don't know how. Okay.
Question?
She's not. Yeah.
I read Bible and I didn't read there that people, they shake hands, and in Bhagavatam we don't see it. But I read Muslims literature, and Prophet says that Muslims, they have to shake their hands. I mean, it seems like
shake hands.
Yeah. What is the like origin of the custom? Yes.
I was told. It shows that you aren't going to hurt somebody. When you meet on the road in medieval Europe, it was dangerous out there. You never know who's going to attack you. So you put your hand out. That shows you're not going to be grabbing for your sword. You know, it's by putting your hand out, it's a sign that I'm not here to hurt you. Otherwise, you get your hand over here and you can pull your sword out and start fighting. That's why you reach your hand out. I don't know about the shaking part. There may be an answer, I don't know. Yes.
Hare Krishna. You're saying that it says in the purport, I mean in your commentary, that in the Brahma Samhita, the mantra is not given in the verse. It's in a cryptic way.
Yeah, that's the way it should be done.
Yeah.
In a book. It shouldn't be given away in a book.
But you see, I was just reading recently in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how Prabhupada gives it, the mantras are there in the purports.
Right.
Yeah. So how do you explain that?
Prabhupada doesn't care. He's okay. Breaking the rule.
Or you're supposed to be second initiation before reading Chaitanya Charitamrita or something.
Yeah, Prabhupada's not so fussy about that. Like you read this morning, the Prabhupada revealed intimate things in some of his books because he figured that foolish people aren't going to understand it anyway. It's going to go right over their heads. That was Prabhupada's... Yeah, you were reading it this morning in breakfast. The Prabhupada put in things in, especially into the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that materialists shouldn't hear. But he figured they can hear it, but they, it'll just go in one ear and out the other anyway. So he went ahead and also put the exact Gayatri Mantra in his book. He figured the book is protected by Yogamaya. But that's going, it's going against the traditional rule. You're not supposed to do that. Prabhupada's not, we're not so fussy about, Diksha, as if, it's a business. You can't afford to lose customers by giving away mantras for free. That's why Babaji's and others are so fussy about Diksha. Where's your pedigree? Show me your list of your gurus. Because they're making Diksha into a business. We're not so particular, so fussy about Diksha. So Prabhupada just gave away the mantra. Big deal. It's like Ramanujacharya was given Vishnu mantra and told by his guru, don't tell this to anybody. And Ramanujacharya, after being told that, went up on the Gopuram of the Ranganath temple, or was it Vadaraj temple? And he started shouting it, for everyone to hear. Disobeyed the order of his guru, what was apparently the order of his guru, for the sake of preaching. Okay? All right, we'll stop here. We'll start the next file tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.